This is an audio archive edition of WINA's Charlottesville Right Now with Coy Barefoot, made available online by the Charlottesville Podcasting Network, cvillepodcast.com.
Rick Sincere joins me live in studio. He is the former chairman of the Libertarian Party of Virginia, an online journalist at Rick Sincere. Is it ricksincere.com or .blogspot.com?
Ricksincere.com.
That's right, ricksincere.com, and he is with us to talk a little politics. Let me start with this video that you put online, which is really interesting. Set this up for it, and then we'll play a little bit of the audio from it.
Well, this I took this at last week's town hall meeting that Governor McDonnell hosted in Harrisonburg at James Madison University. And the day before, the Washington Post had reported that the top-level privatization plan for getting rid of Virginia's state-owned liquor stores, that the McDonnell administration was leaning towards selling the whole thing to a single high bidder, essentially trading state-owned monopoly for a private monopoly. And I just found this really hard to believe. So when I had an opportunity to ask the governor directly whether this was true, I did. And I got it on video and I put it on YouTube.
And let's hear that now, this video from Rick Sincere as you approach Governor McDonnell. This is after the town hall meeting out in the lobby, right?
Right. Yeah. There was a little bit of a press gaggle. And oddly enough, there were only three reporters there, including myself. And while the TV cameras were getting set up, I said, well, I'll ask the first question. And the governor was, you know, as close to me as you are to me right now. And I posed the question to him.
Here we go.
Question. Washington Post reported yesterday or the day before that the ABC privatization could include selling the whole kit and caboodle to one high bidder. Is that off the table?
Yeah, absolutely. We're not going to create a private monopoly to replace a government monopoly. That's not going to happen.
So the Washington Post was wrong.
I didn't read that, and so I've never heard that.
Okay, thanks.
So he doesn't say the Washington Post was wrong. I don't know. Now fill in the visuals for us.
Well, I have to say that the expression on the governor's face is absolutely priceless. When I say to him, well, are you saying the Washington Post was wrong? He has this smile on his face as though, you know, the Washington Post is always wrong.
Yeah, you're right. I love that look he has on his face, like, what?
But
what did you just ask me?
He's very diplomatic in his response, and I believe him when he said he hadn't seen that report, because it had just appeared on a Washington Post blog. I think it was Anita Kumar who had reported it. I know I did talk to some people on his staff about it, but that doesn't mean that he had seen it personally.
Yeah, and with all due respect to Anita, and I know her, and she's very, very good at what she does, but it wouldn't be the first time that a reporter got some stray news and ran with it, and it turned out to be erroneous. Or maybe it was just part of the mix, part of the discussion that was on the table at one time, and then, you know, there had since been a meeting and it was taken off the table.
Yeah, I think that was always sort of a sort of high up in the air kind of possibility, but I don't think anyone ever took it as a serious possibility, because as the governor said, it would be trading a public monopoly for a private monopoly, and you wouldn't achieve anything with that.
Yeah. We're talking with Rick Sincere online at ricksincere.com. Phone lines are open at 977-1070. Take a moment to underscore the historic significance of this. This is a huge deal that Virginia is exploring this. It's been talked about for years, and you finally have somebody in the governor's office, who I was telling you off mic here, I really like. I like Bob McDonnell. I don't agree with him on everything. I'm not a social conservative, but I really like him, and I've known him for years. And I'm really impressed. He has grabbed this bull by the horns, and he's really made it clear that he's going to make this happen.
Yeah, he's very committed to this, and it's unfortunate that I've talked to some members of the General Assembly who are not as committed to it. As a matter of fact, after the town hall in Harrisonburg last week, I interviewed Dickie Bell from Stanton, and he literally said, I'm not as committed to this as the governor is, but he's willing to keep an open mind. But the governor thinks that this, I really do believe that Governor McDonnell looks at this as his legacy as governor of Virginia. You know, in 4 years, you can't accomplish a lot of things that will go down in the history books as being something that no one else has ever done and can never do again. We're talking about a system that was set up in the wake of Prohibition that simply has no place in the 21st century. You know, there's no other consumer product that the government sells And when you think about it, there are things out there that could qualify for a government monopoly if you were so inclined. Why do we not sell tobacco products from state-owned stores? Why don't we sell
beer.
Pharmaceuticals?
Beer.
Or beer and wine.
Yeah, I mean, that's the most obvious. If we're selling alcohol, why is it that the government doesn't include beer and wine in their monopoly on liquor?
I can tell you what it is. I'm sure some of your listeners are familiar with the Virginia School of Economics or Public Choice Economics, where it says that business interests use government action to advantage themselves against their competitors. Well, at each of the town hall meetings that I've gone to, and a third one that I read about in Danville, someone who is a beer wholesaler stood up to say, I am opposed to the governor's plans to privatize the sale of distilled spirits, and giving a very articulate set of reasons why, but it all comes down to one thing. We don't want the competition. And it's very disingenuous on their part to have us believe that they're really concerned that the clerks in a liquor store may not be as good as the clerks in a beer and wine store in terms of checking IDs and making sure there are no underage drinkers. But that's one of the arguments they use.
Yeah. It really is interesting and sort of want their cake and eat it, too. One minute they're for the free market, and the next minute they're terrified of the free market.
Well, I'll tell you this. They're not really in favor of the free market. Anything that advantages them, they will support. If it's a free market policy, they'll support it. If it's government subsidies or government hobbling of their competitors, they'll support it. There is no equivalence between being pro-business and being pro-free market. Often they are at odds.
That's a very interesting point. And just before we go to the phones, and we want to bring the listeners in on this conversation at 977-1070, repeat that again, because it's a very fine point, but it's an important point that is not often discussed on radio and the cable news and the screaming talking heads, but it's really important for people to understand.
Well, people often think that free market advocates like myself are also pro-business. But as I just said, there's no equivalence between being pro-business and being pro-free market. A lot of businesses do not favor the free market if it disadvantages them. And they will favor so-called free market policies if they think they can achieve something by it. But they're just as likely to want to have government laws that regulate their competitors in order to keep people out of the market. I mean, the big oil companies are famous for this. They really like to be highly regulated because it means that new startup companies can't come in and compete against them.
And their lobbyists write that legislation.
They do. They like to be regulated because it means we're already here. We're big. We're strong. We have 20, 25% of the market share. We don't want the guy who only has 1% of the market share to be able to compete with us on the same level. So we want regulations that will disadvantage our upstart competitors.
Yeah, and you see that across the industries, in all kinds of industries.
Right.
I mean, this is often what lobbyists are doing in Washington. They're writing legislation that benefits the folks they represent, that benefits the leaders in their particular industry.
One of the best people writing on this right now is Timothy Carney, who has a regular column in the Examiner newspapers, the Washington Examiner, and you can find him online. But he's a very good, very astute observer of the lobbying and the sort of public choice economics and how businesses use the lobbying system to use regulation to their advantage. The idea that businesses are against regulation is simply a myth.
Let's go to the phones. Jim is with us. Jim, you're on with Rick Sincere. Thanks for the call. Go right ahead.
Hey, Rick. Hi, Coy. I really appreciate what you're talking about right now, and it's good to hear it. And, of course, I think some people refer to business-government partnerships as sort of a corporatism. But the reason I was called is there is another product that the state holds a complete monopoly on or tries to, and sell, and that is lottery tickets through its numbers racket.
That's a good point. It's something weird that in places like Virginia, if something is sinful, it's only okay if the government is in charge of it. So, you know, you've got lots of people who think that gambling is bad, but it's okay if the government does it. Liquor is bad, but it's okay if the government does it. It's a very strange sort of hypocrisy. I would be happy to see legalized gambling in Virginia run by private enterprise, and I think the state could benefit by it.
Well, it's also interesting that during firehouse bingo games and places where some nonprofits can do a little bit of gambling, there's all sorts of regulations about 1-800 numbers for gambling allowance, and you have to post these posters around and such. But, you know, the Virginia Lottery doesn't do any of that. They have these high-definition color screens at every convenience store to entice you into buying.
Yeah,
it's a great point.
It is a great point. And, you know, I think we can all agree that that the lottery is a tax on stupid people, but it's still, if you just use it for entertainment purposes, there's really nothing wrong with it. You know, I used to play the lottery when it first became legal up in D.C. when I was living there, but it got boring really fast.
Jim, thank you for the call, buddy.
Thank you.
Absolutely. We got a line open at 977-1070. It's about 13 minutes in front of 5 o'clock, and we're talking with Rick Sincere. He's online at ricksincere.com. Rick, Jim used the word corporatism, this collusion between government and big business, where big business pretends and tells the masses, oh, we don't like regulation, get government off our backs, we're for the free market. And you have this sort of a Beck type of following who trumpets that, and yet they don't seem to realize what's going on behind the scenes, that these very same businesses love big government. As long as they can write the laws, as long as their lobbyists can write these regulations that chokes the free market and keeps out any innovation and keeps out any competition.
Well, you know, that's true pretty much across the board, but I'd like to point out that there are some really major exceptions in the corporate world, people who legitimately support the free market and try their best to advocate free market policies. Two examples would be Charles and David Koch, the owners of Koch Industries based in Wichita, Kansas. They support a lot of free market think tanks, and they are very committed to...
They gave us Cato. Yeah.
Yeah, they gave us the Cato Institute, the Institute for Humane Studies, which gives lots of scholarships to up-and-coming students. There's also, his name escapes me, but the president of BB&T is a fan of Ayn Rand, the president of Whole Foods. Got in real trouble about a year ago when he wrote an article in the Wall Street Journal saying he was against Obamacare. And he had a reasoned argument why this regulation of the healthcare system would be bad. And people started boycotting Whole Foods, which, you know, you think of as sort of a crunchy liberal paradise. But the chairman of Whole Foods,
I think it's expensive groceries. That's what I think.
Yeah, yeah, really. there are a number of people out there, in the insurance industry who are legitimate, dedicated free market advocates. But their voices are often drowned out by the corporatists, the top executives who are not quite literally but figuratively in bed with the government.
We're talking with Rick Sincere online at ricksincere.com. You've had a chance now to, well, before we leave the privatization of the ABC, tell me about some of the opposition to it. And do you think this is going to be successful?
It's hard to say right now. The actual plan is going to be proposed on September 8th, and the government's reform commission is going to consider it first. And there are a number of members of the General Assembly on that, as well as people from private business and the academy, and a range of people are on that commission. And they're going to vote on it. And then they're going to form some kind of legislative package that they'll take to the General Assembly, probably in a special session called for November. I'm getting mixed messages from the delegates and senators I talk to. Most of them say they have an open mind on it, but they seem to be disinclined to support it until they see real details. Perhaps once they have a concrete proposal before them, they'll be more likely to say yes or no, you know, in a sort of black and white manner. But you know,
and that's part of the problem. We are where we are now is we really don't have a proposal. Well, we have an idea.
Yeah, we have an idea. We have semi-proposals that have been floated around. But also, I think there's a lack of information and knowledge out there. I spoke to Delegate Bell, Dickie Bell from Augusta County, Stanton, and he said I asked him about the concerns that he has. He has some concerns about some of the social outcomes, underage drinking, more consumption, DUI and stuff. And I said, do you have any...
Which studies show is bunk, right?
Right. I mean, well, yeah, this is what I asked him. I said, do you have any empirical data to support your concerns? And he said, no. He said, no, these are just my feelings. But the fact is that there are empirical studies out there that shows there's
His feelings are wrong.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And, you know, if he's representative of members of the General Assembly who are kind of going, you know, on instinct rather than on actual facts, then the governor has some persuasion to do, and by presenting the facts and laying them out in a systematic way and saying, this is the way it is, vote yes or no.
Yeah. I get the sense, though, or do, I should ask you, do you get the sense that the by and large, the majority of the Virginia public would support this?
I think they would if they really cared about it, but I don't think it's a top issue for them right now.
Yeah.
They just kind of take the ABC stores for granted. And since most people really don't care about things like high-end exotic liquors that are available in places like D.C. but not in Virginia, they don't even think about asking for it when they go to the ABC store. They just, you know, buy a bottle of, you know, low brand vodka
what's there.
Or whatever.
But if the ABC was privatized and they had, you know, liquor available in grocery stores, all of a sudden you would see a whole lot more options on the shelf than we see today.
Right. Yeah. Especially if you free up the wholesale market and you make it possible for, you know, to have, you know, sort of a boutique liquor store. You know, I'm not talking about one that carries 100 brands, but it might just carry, you know, sort of, you know, like you have, you know, the beer stores that carry, you know, the brands that only you only get like one case a year. You're going to have that kind of liquor store too.
Yeah.
With the boutique artisanal
right.
products.
Interesting. So you've had a chance to see Governor McDonnell at some of these town hall meetings around the state. You've been going to these. Mm-hmm. What are your thoughts as you watch him in action?
Well, I was really impressed. Previous to these town hall meetings, I had only seen Governor McDonnell in what you'd call friendly audience situations, you know, like at a Republican convention or at an announcement that he's running for governor and that sort of thing, where he's bringing in his supporters. These have been mixed audiences. You've got people who are, you know, very gung-ho Republicans, and you've got people who are not really friendly, because he had to deal with some hostile questions, and I was really impressed by the way he handled himself. He was very quick on his feet. He was very tactful and diplomatic. He would be able to say to someone who asked him a hostile question, he would give them an answer in such a way that the person came away thinking, hey, you know, he really likes me.
Yeah. he's very good at what he does.
And in Roanoke, what was odd was because the hostile questions were coming from people to his right, you know, sort of conspiracy theorist types. And he was able to disarm them very well, just through his language. And in Harrisonburg, most of the hostile questions came from the left, from people who are concerned about environmental and energy issues. And he used exactly the same sort of strategy. And I never got the sense that he was being insincere at all. He just has a very good way of dealing with people that I think probably explains why he's been such a successful politician, because he can speak to people without offending them, even when they disagree.
We're talking with Rick Sincere. Our governor has an attorney general. We have an attorney general who makes national headlines and is quite adept at throwing some bombs that get a lot of attention. Good or bad for this governor?
I think it's good for Governor McDonnell, because they can play a sort of good cop, bad cop role. An example would be when Attorney General Cuccinelli came out with an opinion that said that Virginia universities can't have anti-discrimination policies that include gay and lesbian employees. And there was an outcry against that, even though I will admit the Attorney General was absolutely correct as far as the law goes. And Governor McDonnell responded to that by issuing an executive directive that essentially said, I don't care what the Attorney General says. If you don't want to discriminate on the basis of sexual orientation, don't discriminate on sexual orientation. And I will be really angry if you do discriminate on the basis of sexual orientation. And
so
I
it makes it gives the, gives a conservative Republican governor an opportunity to look like a social progressive.
Right. Exactly. But I still think it's up to the General Assembly to pass a law that says Virginia colleges and universities should not by law discriminate on the basis of sexual orientation.
Which they haven't done.
They have not done that.
Yeah. Well, it's Virginia.
It is Virginia.
Rick Sincere, he's online at ricksincere.com, joins us each week to talk a little politics. Rick, thank you so much.
Thanks.
You've been listening to Charlottesville Right Now with Coy Barefoot. Charlottesville Right Now is broadcast live Monday through Friday on News Radio 1070 WINA from 4 to 6 p.m. Best-selling author and historian Coy Barefoot is the host and producer. To interact with Coy and his guests, you can call 434-977-1070. Coy can be reached at barefoot@wina.com. This audio download has been made possible by the Charlottesville Podcasting Network. Visit SevillePodcast.com for more.